Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hi, Rangers. It's me, Jackie Cation. Welcome to the Dork Forest. It's 2024. Let's do this. Here's the credits, of course. Mike Rickberg sang that song at the beginning, and he wrote that song, and he sang it with Sarah Cohen, his wife, and he will sing the Mexican Hat Dance at the end of the program. Also, Patrick Brady, still putting this together. Video, audio, all of it. He's amazing. So, and Vilmos doing JackieCationStore.com. Squarespace is doing the regular Jackie Cation page, and I'm thinking of moving the Dork Forest and DorkForest.com away from WordPress because it's driving me nuts. But those are the credits. But if you go to JackieCation.com, you can get Dork Forest merch. You can get my stand-up merch. You can get my stand-up CDs and DVDs, which you'd have to have devices for those. You can also see videos and find out any number of things. I have another podcast called The Jackie and Laurie Show, but The Dork Forest is the flagship. 18th year, we're doing it, you guys. You can go to my Bandcamp or my YouTube for extra content. Please donate, is what I'm saying. It's 2024, and I think we've been in this long enough. Why don't you guys, everybody send me $100? That's what I'd like you to do. You can PayPal me. There's links all over the pages. You can Venmo me at Jackie Cation. You can find me at a stand-up show and hand me a sweaty wad of 20s. Do something. But I love doing the show. I would love to make some money, is what I'd like to do. In other news, I'm sure there's more things that I should talk about, but I can't think of them. But let's listen to who's going to dork out about something, because that's my favorite part. Thanks for listening, you guys. You're all great. Let's get into the show. Gosh, I'm in by a garage again. It's me, Jackie Cation. Dork Forest listeners, Rangers, I have been to West Virginia once, and this is where I met this man, Cody Cannon, and it's at Cody Cannon Comedy. Cody Cannon feels like a real West Virginia name, my friend, and he's a great comic. He's going to record his first album later this year. He has a podcast called Comic Chronic, C-O-M-I-C, N Chronic, C-H-R-O-N-I-C. I live in Los Angeles, so you may be hearing large machinery behind me. And if that's something, think of it as ambiance. I should probably close this door.
No problem. I love LA. I try to go out there at least once a year, so I'm used to the. And I grew up out there, so I'm used to the hubbub of the noise.
Where'd you grow up?
The San Fernando Valley.
That's where we're sitting right now. That's
nice.
I have an alley.
Nice.
That's the part of the San Fernando Valley I live in. The part that has alleys.
Nice.
And which means Van Nuys, ladies and gentlemen. So Cody Cannon, great comic, but we're going to dork out today. Do you want to do movies, or do you want to do
we could talk about movies is like, it's been like one of my passions since I was a kid. It was like, it's always been one of my favorite forms of entertainment.
Interesting. You like the long form of a film. Is that what
I'm
hearing?
Yes, for sure.
What is your favorite length of a film?
I think like 2 hours is like solid. I mean, don't get me wrong. I can do like a longer if it's epic and they do it like the Lord of the Rings movies and stuff like that. You know, they're, but.
I saw Gandhi, which had an intermission in high school. And I also saw Reds, which had an intermission. They were two movies that were made here in the United States of America that had intermissions, like they were theater events. And the theater I saw them at was a movie theater on Howell Avenue in Milwaukee next to a bowling alley. So it didn't really feel like a theater event. But those were all over 3 hour movies, and they didn't think Americans could handle it. So they gave them an intermission. Plus they were epic, like Lawrence of Arabia. I don't know.
Yeah.
I never saw Lawrence of Arabia. I hear it's one of the greatest films of the world. Did you study film?
No, I've just been passionate. As a young kid, my parents often we moved across the country twice, and this is in the 90s. So it was before they put TVs and stuff in cars, and
oh,
we
right.
were all like, we were all like young kids. So my dad like rigged the electrical system to have like one of those little TVs that had a VCR player built into it.
Oh, and he just jammed it in the back seat of the car?
Exactly.
Old school. Yeah, you know what I did? I ripped the audio off of VHS tapes and just listened to movies as I did the road in the 90s.
Nice.
What movies were you watching? I mean, just, well, it was the 90s, so it was all.
Yeah, and I was a kid, yeah. So it was a lot of kids' movies. Jurassic Park.
Some action stuff, some live action. Well, CGI.
The Goonies.
Right. The dinosaurs aren't real in Jurassic Park, you guys.
Exactly.
That is CGI.
But Jurassic Park, The Goonies, Little Rascals were like Lion King, you know.
Old-timey Little Rascals, like from the 60s, 30s?
No, they made like a remake in the early 90s.
Oh, for interesting.
And it was like there was a Whoopi Goldberg cameo, and it was honestly really good for kids. I haven't rewatched it since I was a child. But
so who knows if it holds up.
Yeah.
But, there's – well, that's interesting. Okay, so – the long form is what you like. You like movies because of the long form.
It's like kind of, it wraps the story. You know what I mean? I like that it's, okay. I like TV shows, but really I only watch like a couple a year at most, just because I'm a busy person. I kind of like to just like sit, hear the entire story and be able to like process it and move on.
Well, that's a great, that is an excellent point about movies, is that it's one story, unless it's some weird, you know, the new Spider-Verse.
Exactly.
That was actually a punch in the nose is what that was.
Yeah, I agree completely. Yeah. That was my biggest problem with that movie that it just didn't feel like a complete thought. You know what I mean?
Right. It ended in the middle of like act two.
Yeah.
How about no? Or how about a warning?
that
would have also helped. Thank you very much. Okay, well, let's do. What's your first? And here's the thing. This is what I always say about favorites. They can change. They can. Yeah. These are just five movies that you really like. Let's say some of your favorite films.
Some of my favorite. From my childhood, The Goonies is definitely one of them.
Interesting.
I love
Adventure.
I even like rewatched it a couple months ago for the first time in a few years and holds up. I mean, like, yeah, some jokes and stuff are dated, but it's like a good mix of comedy, action. You know what I mean?
Sure.
There's a lot of heart.
I always thought it was kind of the sort of like I missed. There was a window when I had to be a certain age to really love The Goonies.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what the movie I watched at that age was Stand By Me.
Yeah.
And which is sort of the same movie, but not obviously.
Yes.
And The Goonies, I think, was more made for kids.
Yeah.
And that Stand By Me was made for kids, but it was back when they were like, no, kids want to know about dead people. and they want to actually see the body, and they want to actually make fun of like people's testicles. So and there's, you know, like Stand By Me had smoking in it.
Yeah.
Like they all had one cigarette.
Yeah.
So I haven't seen The Goonies. If I ever saw it, I don't think I ever saw it.
Oh, it's so good.
Chunk, I know that he's a lawyer now, an entertainment lawyer.
Yes. And
he was a kid that had not grown yet. He wasn't really a fat kid. He was just kind of a big, he was just a little, he had baby fat that hadn't grown up yet. And they mocked him mercilessly.
Mercilessly. So, I always identify. Yeah, I was never a big kid. I was always a string bean, but I always feel like I always identified with like the comic sidekick character in a movie.
The outcast.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, that's the thing. You don't have to be overweight or too tall or, you know, all of these things. Every child who is like 10 to 15 knows what it is to be an outcast.
Yeah.
Because inside they're just a pile of ants and they're just like, and nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. There was a book when I was a kid called Nobody Likes Me, Everybody Hates Me. I'm going to go eat worms. And that was the name of the book. It was a young adult novel.
Yeah.
And it was about a girl who, like, literally it's that thing where you don't feel okay. You don't know what you are. All you know is that you feel judged completely. And you think that other people look like they have their shit together, but they don't. But it, you know, it's just that. So is that the Goonies? Is it
the Goonies? Are they all outcasts? It's kind of like a ragtag band of outcasts who get caught up in this insane treasure hunt slash heist.
It's a like a heist.
Kind of, yeah. Like these kids, they find a map. Their parents, everybody's family is like the local business shut down.
Okay.
Everybody's out of, families are like losing their houses and stuff like that. And
is the B plot that capitalism sucks?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Oh, because it's.
I mean, like that's like very lightly mentioned in the beginning and the end. It's not like.
No.
Yeah.
It's but the undercurrent. Whoa. Wow. It's going to be a loud one, you guys. It's not going to be a moment that isn't exciting in this episode of The Dork Forest. That was the man just slamming that door. Okay, so, but there's my theory is that all sort of middle-level movies like this mm-hmm. have a B-plot, whether it's a right-wing message or a left-wing message. Like Footloose, obviously yeah. it was censorship is bad.
Yeah.
Dirty Dancing. Is keep abortion legal. Mm-hmm. And Blue Crush, which I don't know if you ever saw that.
Oh yeah.
Surfing movie. True happiness is found through corporate sponsorship. So it's true. That's that is the message. So
yeah.
with Goonies, I think that came out right around when like all the jobs were leaving.
Yeah.
You know, it was like in response to Reagan's shutdown. And then there was all the shutdown of we sent all the jobs overseas.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was the trickle down effect was that all of the factories were closing in
exactly.
the late '80s and early '90s. And then Bill Clinton was elected.
Yeah.
And then he slept with some interns, but he also did some good work economically. So, but the Goonies, are there five kids?
There's a slew. God. There's one, two, three, four, there's like seven, including like seven or
seven.
Some. Yeah. There's like, cause there's the lead young boy. There's his older brother. There's Kiki Juan, a young Kiki Juan. There's Chunk. There's two girls and maybe, and then like the boy's best friend or something like that. And maybe his older brother's best friend. There's a lot of them.
Right. Okay. So. You'll be happy to know that my agent just, I'll call an hour. Respond. Oh, I don't, you know, what would be great is if I ever, did any kind of editing. So I don't, so literally I picked up my phone so that I could look up the name. And you know, when you pick up your phone, the world goes, my brain is holy shit, Cody.
Yeah.
Cody Cannon, you guys should totally know that that he's the best, and this episode is going to be fraught with peril. That's what we know. Is it Spanish doubloons? That's the only thing I got out of the Wikipedia.
Yes, yeah. There's a basically they find this treasure map, and they're like, we can save. The town or whatever.
Okay.
And along the way, there's these like three villains. I can't remember the last name. They're definitely Italian in nature. They just broke out of prison. And then they find out these kids are after treasure. And they're like, all right, we're after the treasure too. And
right.
It's
okay.
Like shenanigans.
Shenanigans
know.
And then hijinks ensue.
Yeah, exactly.
And, so, spoiler alert, this movie from 1990, whatever. Do they find the treasure? I don't think they do.
Yes, they do at the end.
Oh, they do.
They do. They get the treasure, but then they send the ship like to think they're kind of like, this is wrong. Like, we should just like, he wanted to be like the person who left the map for them, the captain of the pirate ship, which is like hidden in this cave system under, I think this takes place somewhere in the Pacific Northwest.
Right, right. It looks like it anyway. Or Maine.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But this, they find him from this cave system. And is everything okay? Volume? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
But anyway, they find the treasure, and then they realize that, like, he wanted to die with his treasure or whatever, and, like, treasure wasn't the point of it. So they sent the ship out to sea, like, let the ship go out to sea again, just to, like, eventually sink and stuff.
Oh, they sent the treasure in the ship out to sea.
Yeah.
Instead of helping,
they end up, one of the kids ends up having a pocket full of these rubies, and a pocket full of the rubies ends up being
enough to save the town.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sure. It's I have to say, Jake Johansson is doing a joke right now about how he couldn't be a billionaire because once he hit $10 million, he'd be like, no, I'm good. And it's such a great joke. It's got a lot more punchlines than that, but that's the gist. So what are your favorite scenes in that movie?
I love the scene. I mean, honestly, I love the villains. I think they're so fun. It's like, there's like these two evil brothers and their evil mom.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. It's an evil family.
Yeah. They're a family. And like the opening scene of the movie is one of the brothers gets busted out of jail by the mom and the other brother. And they like set the police building on fire and stuff like that. And it's just over the top from the beginning. I just love any scenes they're in. They all just steal the show. Kihi Kwan's like gadgetry and failed. Cause in this, he's like a self-made like whiz of, gadgets. And like, they always mess up, but also somehow help. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. It's just like, it's wacky villains. It's exactly. Villains who are not completely, they're not, because it's a children's movie. They're not truly evil. They're just kind of dumb and mean to each other.
Exactly.
And, well, and then, is it kind of Home Alone-y where they kind of,
there's aspects like a toned down. It's like if Home Alone met, like, was like sent on, like, Macaulay Culkin was sent on a quest to find some, you know what I mean? Like, there's aspects of it, but it's
right. Cause they got a MacGyver stuff, right?
Exactly. And there's also like, there's like booby traps and stuff. Like there's this one scene where, they're in a room and they have to like read it's kind of like, it's not music notes, but they discover it's kind of music notes. And then like the girl who's been taking piano lessons has to figure it out and play the right notes till the door opens up. But every wrong note, a piece of the floor falls down a pit. And you know what I mean?
Like, right, right.
Yeah. So it's like Home Alone meets Indiana Jones for kids.
Oh, right, right. It always had a sort of an Indiana Jones vibe to it. So they were just trying to, Andy made a board game, a cardboard game called Siblings Trouble.
Nice.
And it's essentially just an adventure where you and three friends go into the woods and have a quest. And it's, and you, well, like one person has a penknife and one person has a rope. And then you go, and the whole game is you have to go do the quest and get home before your parents know that you're gone. Mm. And everybody's 12. So,
no, that's literally the Goonies. It's great.
Yeah. I think it was created by someone who's 40.
Yeah.
So, well, that's cool. I mean, are there any other, so is it streaming anywhere? Do you know?
When I watched it, I think it might've been on Max, but I don't know. It's one of those movies that like every few months it jumps, like somebody else
gets the rights.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so you don't necessarily have to buy it.
No.
Because it's one of those movies, and I do think this, is that there's soothing movies from our childhood or just from any time in our lives where we're like, no, I need to watch Mother again or Defending Your Life or, you know, just some. My brother, I think it's Animal House.
Yeah.
So you're like, really? Okay. And what about the date rape? Is that, you good with that? All right. Good for you. Mm-hmm. He's like, there's problems. And he's told me recently that he can't watch any more Woody Allen. He said, I love those Woody Allen movies, man, but there's just too much, like, I said, have you tried to watch Chinatown? Anyway, so here's me hoping none of those were your favorite movies, the ones that I just referenced. No. What else you got? What's another one? What's your next?
I love like just dumb comedies. And one of my favorites of all time is I think it's from like the late 2000s, Step Brothers with Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly.
Okay. You know what? Step Brothers might be Will Ferrell's greatest performance.
It was incredible. It was so funny. So like, so stupid, you know?
Oh, it's
like,
dumb.
Yeah.
It's yeah. It's so are they Step Brothers? What is the plot of Step Brothers? Okay. I've actually never seen it. I've only seen parts of it.
It's so funny. Yeah. So the plot of it is there's these two emotionally stunted men that are in their 40s that still live with their parents. And their parents meet at a conference, fall in love, and then they throw like a quick wedding and move in together. And it's about
the
these
four
two,
of them?
Yeah.
Okay,
and it's about these two stepbrothers.
Adult men. Who are now living with each of their parents.
Yeah.
Their parents are newlyweds.
Yes.
And they're learning how to be brothers.
Exactly.
Wow, that's dumb. good for them. Good for them for making that movie.
It's so stupid and so funny.
Is it heartwarming?
Yeah,
is there
for sure.
Is there a B plot there? Like, what's are they sent on a quest? What's happened?
No, it's literally, I mean, so they start out as enemies and then they become friends. And then.
Is it the enemy of my enemy? Like,
yes,
is there a bad guy?
Yeah. Like Will Ferrell's older brother, played by Adam Scott, is just like the biggest douche. And they join forces because Adam Scott's trying to sell the house and they don't.
Oh.
They're like, we're just now getting along with each other.
Right,
We need to, you know what I mean? Let's keep this family together. Because like Adam Scott's also trying, like in them selling the house, the parents would go off sailing and that would force them to like become normal functioning adults that don't just mooch off their
parents. Right, right. Right. Nobody's got time for that. To learn how to all of a sudden it's too late. They're they were born on the side of a hill. They can't do it. It's they can't be set free. What are your favorite scenes in that movie?
Oh God. I mean, so there's a scene there's like a montage scene where they get set up for a bunch of interviews. And for job interviews to try to like improve their lives. And they decide to interview as a pair. And there's just like a montage scene, like cutting back and forth between all of these interviews. Like in one of them, they just can't pronounce the woman who's interviewing them. They can't pronounce her name correctly. And they're trying to help each other pronounce her name. And she's like, no, that's not it. You know what I mean? like she's like, they're like Pam. And he's like, Pam? And she's like, Pam. And he's like, Pam, but with a B. It's like the B is silent. And she's like, no B. And and then there's like another interview where they're like, how about we ask you the questions to the interviewer? And like, you know, Martha Stewart, Oprah Winfrey, your mom. Fuck one, marry one, kill one. And just like, you know, just like really like, you know, and then there's one interview that they nail, but then, and it's with Seth Rogen is the interviewer. Then, yeah, just like a quick 10-second cameo. And then John C. Reilly just like lets out a terrible. Also, this whole time they're interviewing in tuxedos. They're dressed in tuxedos.
Right. And, why would they be?
And then then John C. Reilly lets out this like long, like four or five second long fart. And then Seth Rogen's like, oh, I can taste it. Like at first I thought the tuxedo thing was funny, but now it's kind of fucked up. You know what I mean?
What are the odds that do you think that there is an employer out there who, if especially someone of a certain age, where if you showed up in a tuxedo, you would get the job.
Oh, for just because, sure.
Just because the boss would be like, this guy is going to be amazing at Christmas parties. He's going to be amazing. And that's insane. Have you ever seen a Will Ferrell movie called Casa de Mi Padre?
No, but I know what you're talking about. I've seen like the right. trailers, and but I never actually watched it.
It is so close to being essentially what would be a modern day Blazing Saddles.
Yeah.
It's really, really almost great.
Nice.
But it's slightly cringeworthy because Will Ferrell's slightly too old mm-hmm. to play the main character.
Yeah.
And he just wants to be the guy. It's and he's Will Ferrell, so he gets to be the guy.
Exactly.
But it would have been, you know, he should have hired somebody, just one of the newer Will Ferrell. Will Ferrell, but 25.
Exactly.
So that would have really nailed it. And but Casa de Mi Padre is actually a really good. I own it.
Nice.
It's the only Will Ferrell movie.
Nice.
And when I say own, I mean DVD. Tony.
Yeah, I haven't, obviously since streaming took over, I haven't been buying DVDs, but I have like five gigantic totes just like filled with DVDs.
Just filled with DVDs.
Yeah.
Because you know what? They're going to take them completely off the streaming system and then you're going to have to rehook up your DVD player. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to want to watch, I regret this, that I got rid of the VHS copies of the first three Star Wars, which has, Han Solo shooting first.
Yeah.
It was before he did the cuts.
Yes.
And that is absolutely no longer available to my knowledge as a DVD.
Yeah.
And I own the DVD set of the first, in my opinion, the first three or the first publishing order
three. Yeah.
of the Star Wars. And, but I will say this, I have taken to, if I want to watch something that I have a DVD, and we have a DVD player,
nice.
I will look and see if it's streaming. And then if it's streaming, but it costs $12,
yeah.
I have purchased those movies.
Nice.
Just so I have them on the streaming platform, and now I don't have to pull out the DVD.
Mm-hmm.
I assume my fingers will atrophy at some point from lack of use. This me pushing the DVD tray in. This thumb will no longer be abused. All right, what's your next one?
Next one. I'm a big horror person.
Oh.
I love horror movies. And
what's your current favorite horror movie in the giant genre?
Like what's coming up out right now or just my favorite?
No, I mean the one that you picked for this thing, but we can also talk about what's coming up. Sure.
For this, I would say probably John Carpenter's The Thing.
The Thing.
Yes. Yeah. It's like a horror sci-fi from late 70s.
Okay.
Starring Kurt Russell and Keith David.
Oh. All things Kurt Russell.
Yeah,
it turns out. Okay.
And
what's it about?
There's an alien that lands. They're at a outpost, science outpost in like Antarctica or Arctic, somewhere super isolated in the snow. And there's an alien they unearth while doing their things or the Russians do, and then at the beginning of the movie there's an alien that infiltrates this camp and it can take the shape of whoever, and so there's like massive paranoia because you're like, is this person the real person or is it mm-hmm. the alien? And
Skrulls.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. And there's just like, there's a very, the practical effects are out of this world. There's like some really violent scenes with like crazy prosthetics and makeup and stuff like that. And
To show what the thing actually looks like when it's not possessed of somebody.
Yeah.
But when it is possessed of somebody, it looks like Kurt Russell Kurt Russell's the hero. So probably never possesses Kurt Russell.
Yeah, well, one of everybody's favorite things about the movie is at the end, you're not sure if Kurt Russell or Keith David, if either of them are the thing. And it ends with them like at a standoff.
Oh, wow. That's the lion or the tiger and the lady.
Yes.
There's a short story from the 1850s about a woman who falls in love, a girl who falls in love with an unsuitable boy, and she is a princess, and the king, it is a test of her love that he does one of those things where there's a giant stadium.
Yes.
And her her love is standing in the stadium. The king and the princess are standing there, and there are two doors. And the king says, "You can't have him, but you have two choices. You could either send him into the arms of another woman, and I will shower him with gold, or the other door has a tiger in it. You know mm-hmm. which door. Tell him which one to go to." And she does, and the story ends. And the story, which you're supposed to, it's essentially a test of her love. But the mm-hmm. irritating thing about it is that the author never tells you what he's trying to say, right? Like, mm-hmm. is it a test of the father?
Yeah.
To see what kind of kid he raised? Mm-hmm. Is it a test? Does the boyfriend take her word for it? And like, how well does he know her? And, you know, would she want him to either die without her or go forward and be happy? Mm-hmm. So the end of the thing is the lady and the tiger.
Exactly.
And do we know who were you rooting for?
I mean, at the end of it, you're hoping your best bet is neither of them. But also that means that they blew up the facility and they're going to freeze to death anyway. So like, it's kind of like a very bleak ending,
yes.
but it's very, but it's just, I don't know. I just think it's like a master in horror storytelling.
Right. And the prosthetics and the,
yes.
And is the tension level quite high?
Oh, is it throughout the entire,
just fucking at 11
yeah.
the whole time.
Exactly. Because like at first, because the thing infiltrates the camp as a dog and they think it's just a dog. And
right.
there was like a wreck of these Russians, but you found out the Russians were trying to get the dog before it got to the next camp because it just ravaged their camp. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there's a whole.
Yeah.
And so it starts as a dog and then all the dogs die and then like, and it just like goes through one by one, killing people and then taking their form and.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they discover these tests. One of the scientists makes a test that like shows whether or not you're they draw the blood.
Right. That Blade Runner test.
Exactly.
Yes, and there's someone yelling at their phone right now because that test has a name, and it's in the zeitgeist. What's your next one? What's your fourth one?
My fourth one. I love the Kill Bill movies.
Oh, interesting.
I'll say Volume 1 is my preference of the two.
Well, the rest of them couldn't exist without Volume 1. Let's just go with that. It's you are, by the way. 4 for 4 for movies I've never seen.
Nice.
I know. So these are movies I might enjoy, not the thing, but it's too scary. So Kill Bill though, that's, who is that with?
That's Tarantino starring Uma Thurman.
That's it. Uma Thurman.
Yeah. And then there's like Lucy Liu's in this one, David Carradine.
Cause it's the first one.
Yes,
and
exactly.
Is she
Vivica A. Fox?
Person?
Yes, yeah. So the plot of this, it starts out, it's in the very beginning of the scene, and it, in true Tarantino fashion, it like constantly is jumping back and forth in the timeline. You know what
okay.
I mean?
Right. Like Pulp Fiction. The
exactly.
only one that I think I've seen. That's not true. I know I've seen more of his movies. So.
But it starts out in the opening scene, Uma Thurman is like on her back and she's like, "But Bill, it's your baby." And then gunshot, she wakes up in a coma.
from a coma.
Yeah, from a coma. Wakes up from a coma, not in a coma.
That's a different movie. I would love to see that movie.
She wakes up from a coma, and it's like just an avenge tale. Like, she apparently was like a part of this master class of assassins that, and she decides to like break free and lead a normal life. And
okay,
like, has a husband. The husband thinks the baby's hers, or the, well, you find out that this ambush was at the wedding. Because they don't even say Uma Thurman's character throughout. They just refer to her as the bride. There's like lots of homages to samurai movies and old westerns. Okay. And
yeah, yeah.
Just like you can see Tarantino's love of film throughout.
Right. Right. It's Tarantino playing. He gets to. He's in a sandbox going, I'm going to grab this and I'm going to grab that. And I'm going to grab this. Cool, fun game. Right. And you're like, yes. Yes,
exactly.
Well played.
Yeah, it's incredible. Action packed, over the top, funny, really fucked up.
How fucked up? What's like, fucked up?
Like when she wakes up out of the coma, she realizes that one of the nurses has been pimping her out.
As a comatose person?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. And has Quentin Tarantino been me too'd at all? How's Quentin's?
I think
his closest, career, I think, is okay.
Yeah, I think he's fine. I think the closest he's got is that he was a close affiliate of Weinstein.
Oh, Harvey Weinstein. Yeah. I bet he was. Because the thing is you cannot hide the kind of person you are.
Yeah.
Here comes a garbage truck, you guys. Live the life that is Los Angeles on a Thursday morning. Yeah, you can. In my opinion, when you do art, you cannot hide, and you can claim that it's a character. You can claim that it's fictionalized, but it came from your brain box.
Yeah. Jackie, your mic cut out.
Oh, my mic is off on purpose.
Oh, okay. Oh, gotcha.
talk amongst yourselves for a second.
Oh, yeah. that's so
right.
funny.
So, right, but it's like, I mean, the thing is some of his fantasies, and there's nothing wrong with crazy ass fantasies where you're just like, and like even in Terminator, there's that scene where Linda Carter? That's no
yes.
name. Yeah. No, Linda Hamilton. There yes. we go. Linda
Sarah,
Carter's Wonder
Sarah
Woman.
Connor. Yeah, Linda Carter.
Sarah Connor. Yeah, that's last week's episode of The Dork Forest, you guys. We did a Wonder Woman.
Nice.
But Linda Hamilton, I mean, the good news is she stabs the guy with a pencil or some damn thing. But there's, and Kill Bill is pretty much, like, I know that Tarantino, like, he turned it into a revenge film because he wants to empower the women in it. You know, he's just like, why don't, I mean, I don't, I've never seen an interview with him, but I picture Quentin Tarantino as the kind of guy who'd say, why don't women just kill these guys? And
yeah. I mean, and she does. She, the dudes, she kills everyone.
Good for you, Uma. Good for you.
Yeah.
So, well, that's fun. I mean, what are the, so are there bad guys to get to Bill?
Yes,
before she gets to.
Yeah. Cause his squad is called like the Deadly Viper Assassination Squad or something like that.
Sweet.
And each one is named after like a venomous snake. Like,
okay.
I'm pretty sure Uma Thurman was Black Mamba.
Okay.
Or no, and then Vivica, I can't remember who.
Okay. So they're all the different assassins.
Yes.
And she has to get through the Red Room essentially to get to Bill.
Exactly.
Okay. Because he's like, you will protect me. And who plays Bill?
David Carradine.
Okay. Okay. David Carradine. Why do I know that name? Let me just tell you something about my knowledge of show business. It's light. Because here's the thing. I want to guess who David Carradine is. And does anyone need me to do that? I'm right. Let me just say that David Carradine is from Kung Fu.
Yes,
he
exactly.
He is from Kung Fu.
Yeah.
And why wouldn't Quentin Tarantino get David Carradine? Mm-hmm. And I would have been right. I should have believed it myself. But people who listen to The Dork Forest know that easily 85%. I've guessed something like Linda Carter. So knowing your heart, that most of the time I got it wrong. Okay, so Vivica Fox. So he has to get through. She has to get through everybody.
Yeah.
Here's my question with all Quentin Tarantino movies. It feels very kung fu, the way they end. Right?
Yes.
They always end sort of like they're westerns, they're samurai movies. So yeah. He goes back into the woods with his horse.
Yes.
Yeah. Right? That's him and his dog go on to live another life.
Yeah.
And I've read all the Louis L'Amour novels. I know the one where the lone guy comes to town and helps everyone.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't find true love. Mm-hmm. So does Uma Thurman go back to her husband?
He died in the beginning of the they kill her entire new family. Everyone involved. Oh. Yeah.
Right. Because she's not allowed to have a family.
Yeah.
Because assassins have to be an island of in and of themselves. I bet you I would like Kill Bill. I mean,
it's one of my, it's just like, it's fun. I mean, it's dark, but it's like really, it's just like, if you enjoy the kind of movie, like it has, it's filled to the brim with Tarantino-esque dialogue where people are dancing around subjects without, you know what I mean? Like,
Right. They're just, and they're riffing is what they're doing.
Exactly.
And and it's interesting because it's sort of like whenever you watch the sort of, the whole package kind of writer director guys like Paul Feig.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if you ever saw The Heat.
Yes.
And Bridesmaids.
Yes.
One thing that is a common, and I've only seen those two, but he will always have a scene with a gross bodily function thing where in The Heat, it was some weird tracheotomy.
Yeah.
And that didn't need to be there. And in the Bridesmaids movie, it was some throw up scene that didn't need to be there. Mm-hmm. But on the whole, fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
And because those but with Tarantino and I got weeded off. It's a great episode, you guys. Why don't you guys all turn this into a pile of memes? So get on YouTube, make yourself some boomerangs. By the way, I am talking with Cody Cannon. And if you go to Cody Cannon Comedy, that's his Instagram, @ Cody Cannon Comedy. It's all spelt like you would spell things. He works out of the Red Eye Comedy scene in Morgantown, West Virginia. He's going to do a new album this year, so look forward to that. I really had fun working with you, man. You're very funny. And the name of your podcast is Comic and Chronic.
Comics and Chronic, yes.
Yeah. How is it plural? Comics?
Yeah, Comics and Chronic.
ComicsAndChronic.
Yes.
Is there like a website or a Facebook?
Yeah, we have a Comics and, I think it's on the website, might be Comics and Chronic, not with the N.
A-N-D?
Yeah.
Okay.
.com, and it has links to all of our socials. There's like playlists set up. We even have it like categorized. Like these are our episodes about Batman. These are our episodes about. Yeah. So
super fun. Yeah. So I'll put the link in the notes, and you guys could go check it out. But we're doing great. Weirdly enough, you got one more great movie, and then we could talk about what you're looking forward to. Maybe. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that sounds great to me.
What's your fifth?
My fifth and final movie, I think, would have to be Everything Everywhere All at Once. That just came out a couple of years ago.
Wow. That is a real hard turn there. Okay. I've seen that one.
Yeah. I love that movie so much.
Okay. Is that one also, I feel like it's also martial arts. Am I remembering a different word?
Yeah, no. It's definitely
Crouching
like
Tiger action. Lady?
Yeah. Is she from Crouching Tiger? It's, God, there's so many people. Kiki Wan, second time he's on my list. Oh, man, I didn't even connect that, too. And it's the second martial arts movie on the list.
And Google's listening. Because they just were like, do you want to talk about Everything Everywhere All at Once? Yes, I want to look that up. When an interdimensional rupture unravels reality, an unlikely hero must channel her newfound powers to fight bizarre and bewildering dangers from the multiverse as the fate of the world hangs in the balance. Wait, that's right. Everybody's parallel person and other life choices they made.
Exactly. And I think that's why I loved it so much, because like, while it is a ridiculous sci-fi action movie, its core, it's a movie about generational trauma. Like, and there's like a lot of heart in it. You know what I mean? Like, because it's all about like, which path is actually your best path. You know what I mean? And
right. Because can you be happy or change your own path in what you've been given?
Exactly.
Can you address all the parts? Because I think in parts of it, she doesn't, like, her mom has died.
Yes.
And another part, so she's like, well, I should be happy that my mom is still here. And that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's parts where she gets a divorce. There's parts where there were universes where her and her husband haven't met. But in that universe, she becomes a successful movie star. You know what I mean? And
right.
Yeah. And there's just like all of these different paths. And
yeah. Interesting. Is there a favorite iteration of each of those characters that you really liked? Like, because the guy who played Short Round he plays the time traveler who knows that he's time traveling.
Exactly. Right? Yeah.
Kiki Kwan. Or the dimensional traveler that knows.
Kiki Kwan from Indiana Jones. Exactly. And the Goonies.
He was also in the Goonies.
Yeah. He was the one that had. Yeah.
He's in a new movie. Oh, wait. No, he was in Loki.
Yeah. Loki season. It. Yeah.
Yeah. Season two. He was great. He was amazing.
Yeah.
I'm so happy for him.
Me too.
I'm sure he's also happy for him, but he was also like, where'd I go for 30 years? What just happened? What am I, Duran Duran?
Yeah.
And so do you have favorite iterations of each of them? Or
I don't know. I think it was more of just like the overlying plot. You know what I mean? Like, I like the way, like, I guess my favorite character is definitely Kiki Kwan's character, but there's like a specific monologue where he's like talking to her and he's like, you know, you're such a negative person. And he's like, you ask why I don't fight for it and stuff like that. He's like, by being like a sweet, kind person who wants to laugh and be silly and have fun, that's how I fight. And
right.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah. He's not wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then, like, you know, the big twist at the end is like, oh, all of this violence doesn't have to happen. And she ends up like beating all of the bad guys with love and affection and acts and giving them what they secretly want. And you know what I mean?
Right. It's interesting that because the B plot of that is generational trauma.
Yeah, for sure.
And you have to address it, and you have to recognize that it's at every level. You're not an island. You're not alone. Mm-hmm. So the message of that movie is your parents are just people. It's okay.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all right, man. They did the best they can. And sometimes it wasn't good. They weren't good at it. So guess what? You lived. You're going to have to go forth and maybe do better.
Yeah.
Or do make different mistakes. Good for you. And what made me laugh is I was just thinking, because the generational plot, the B plot of the Goonies is that thing about sort of the fading middle class and how you have to sort of stick together. And that's the only way you're going to get through this kind of thing. And whether it's capitalism and sending away all these jobs to other countries, what do you think was the B plot of Step Brothers? The fact who cares if you live with your parents and you don't have a good job?
Because at the end of it, the way they save the day, so to speak, there's like an event that's like the biggest event of the year. And like at this point, Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly have gotten careers and are like stiff, normalfied versions of themselves. And the way they save the day is by reverting back to their silly, you know just what I mean?
Craziness.
Yeah, zany and, antics.
Right, and that and that's how they save the house and the and mm-hmm. the and the and then they all live together at the end of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So in the end of it, it doesn't matter. You could get a good job. You could have. You could be serious all the time. You could live alone. You could not live with your parents, but you could also be perfectly happy if you had a dumb job and
exactly
and lived with your family and just sat around and made fart jokes. I think that's the plot of the Conners. My mother-in-law has been watching all of shows, like mm-hmm. everything. And so she watched all 5 seasons of The Conners.
Mm-hmm.
So as I walk through our very small house, just episode after episode after episode of John Goodman and Jackie, you know, and whatever. But I was talking to Andy. I was like, it's actually a very kind of it's an old school sitcom
mm-hmm.
where there's always sort of a message at the end of it. And mm-hmm. there's. And it's very 90s kind of sitcom vibe to it. And Andy was like, you know what I don't like about it is that they're poor and they keep trying to get out of being poor and they keep introducing these new people into their family. And instead of any of them not being poor, that new person gets sucked into their poverty. And I'm like,
oh, that's so funny.
I was like, oh, wow, you're right. He was like, it's such a weird show. I was like, it's not cheering me up at all. And I was like, well, they seem to like each other in the end. He was like, sure. Yes, it's just like, it's very much this. The message of that one is you're serfs, you're peasants. Be happy with what you have. And I was like, wow. Okay, man. And so what I'm trying to find is like the B plot of The Thing is
I
mean,
maybe don't trust.
Right. It seems to be a paranoia mm-hmm. about aliens and how aliens are out to get you. Mm-hmm. Like this is not an ET situation, right?
No, not at all. Yeah. This thing is like a monster.
Predator? Kind
it's,
of?
It not really. It's kind of like when you see the monster itself, it often looks like insect-like and like,
right.
like, you know.
And it doesn't have an agenda? Does it have an agenda? Like
survival. It's trying to survive. It. Yeah.
Did you ever see District 9?
Yeah. Loved District 9.
District 9 was amazing.
Movie. Amazing.
An amazing movie. Just
so
an entirely about apartheid.
Yes.
And
exactly.
So but the like his follow-up movie was a little on the nose.
Yeah, Elysium.
Because it was about universal healthcare.
Yeah.
and I think it had Matt Damon in it instead of unfortunately Pablo Pascal wasn't available at that. because he was supposed to be, I think, Spanish and Spanish ancestry. So the thing, it's interesting because that feels like more of a conservative, like Red Dawn kind of vibe.
I don't know if it's like that necessarily because like John Carpenter also went on to do They Live, which is like a very anti-capitalist, anti-consumer, anti-government movie.
Sure, sure.
So I don't know if
I don't think that it. That it had that like anti-immigrant kind of thing on purpose,
mm-hmm.
but it might have just been like our greatest fear is that the aliens gonna come, make us fight each other, and take us over and I don't know.
Well, I think,
were there
I
any
think,
women
like,
in
I think,
the thing? I've never
no,
seen.
No, there's no women.
There's no women. It's all just dudes.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of dudes. I think the message more so was like, can we trust each other? Can we even trust ourselves? You know what I mean? Like, I know I'm not an alien, but, you know, everyone else could be. I think it's more about like, it seems to be much more about are we the monsters even if we aren't the aliens? Because like we're doing these horror, we're like lighting people on fire and like it's like really, you know.
Maybe it is just a whole thing about how we don't understand each other and we fear, like, we judge everybody from their outsides mm-hmm. when what we should do is get to know somebody, because on the inside, that guy's a monster. Or they're not a monster, but I'm just looking at and when you look at the insect, you can tell right away that guy's a monster. So I might be trying to force a square peg into a round hole in the thing.
Yeah.
So
other maybe people, Kill Bill too. I don't know if Kill Bill fits, because it's just like
does it have
classic
a
revenge?
B-plot? Yeah, it's got a revenge plot.
Yeah.
Right. Because does John Wick have a B plot? I don't know that it does.
I don't know. I think it's just sometimes.
Don't kill somebody's dog. Yeah. Wow. All right. So what are you looking forward to? What are you looking forward to?
Movies that I'm most looking forward to coming out in the near future. I'm really looking forward to Deadpool and Wolverine, honestly. I'm hoping.
You're living in hope that it'll be super fun?
Yeah.
Because the first one was amazing.
Yeah.
The second one was good.
I like the second one, too. Yeah.
No, I like the second one a lot. I'm predisposed to like them all.
Yeah.
But third one's going to be fine, I think.
Yeah. I just don't know that Marvel Studios is able to pull off, like, connect. I don't know.
Because it's a crossover?
Yeah, because it's like, this is how they pull, this is kind of going to be like the start of Marvel, like introducing X-Men into the MCU.
Right.
So
X-Men, my problem with some of this is literally just the art has mm-hmm. pulled me out of it a little bit. In the second one, the Colossus, mm-hmm. His CGI was a little too much.
Oh, for sure.
The first X-Men movie, done by a guy who
monster
was pretty gross.
Yeah.
I'm the last generation to refer to that as pretty gross, by the way. That guy's a monster. But how he did the CGI on that and the Colossus kid was perfect. He literally, it was just a chink, 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 mm-hmm. made him put his armor on with sound effects. And then the CGI was more realistic. Mm-hmm. And the Colossus in the Deadpool movies is real fluid. He's super fluidy. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I need more clank clank with the Colossus and less sort of a Terminator 2 kind of thing. And mm-hmm. And so I'm a little worried. And Beast in the newer X-Men.
Like the first class movies.
Right. Was a little too furry for me. And I wanted mm-hmm. him to be a little bit sleeker, but that is such a minimalistic, like, art thing mm-hmm. that I'll be seeing them anyway.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that Hugh Jackman is going to be in it. That should be fun.
Yeah. I kind of wanted him to he should have retired. Logan was the perfect ending. They didn't need to bring him back. But he's a fantastic actor. So there's that.
So he'll be fine.
Yeah.
I just saw him in The Music Man. I heard about him in The Music Man on Broadway. Mm-hmm. Somebody stood up in the middle of The Music Man and just yelled, "Wolverine!"
That's so
funny. He plays
funny.
Professor Harold Hill. So, he didn't do anything. Like, he didn't do the hands.
Yeah.
And you kind of want him to, but he was in character as a different character. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that too. Iger, he's back at the helm of, and I don't know if the Paul, not Feige, but just Feige, I think, right?
Kevin,
I get him mixed
Kevin
up.
Kevin Feige?
Feige. Feige, and then the heat was Feig.
Yes,
that's right.
Exactly.
I get, welcome to the Dork Forest. So, where I'm just trying to do things from memory, you guys. And it's a one-man show. It's a one-man band. Except for Patrick Brady fixing things in person. So here's the real question. Will Iger meddle? Because
I've lost so much faith in Marvel. I have been enjoying the new X-Men cartoon a lot, though. So.
Oh, the 97
mm-hmm.
Reboot?
Yes.
I thought the writing was good. The art remains just as terrible as it was in 1997.
I kind of like that.
Well, you were there. You're the perfect age.
I was the, exactly. I was a kid. I was 10 years old in 97.
Yeah, exactly. So it is genuinely being made for you. Exactly. But we watched the first couple of episodes and the writing is great. Actually, it's super interesting. And, what else are you looking for?
Horror-wise,
you said there was a horror that you were looking for.
There's a few horror movies I'm really excited about. From the gentleman who directed The Witch and The Lighthouse, he's doing a Nosferatu movie. And I'm really excited about that.
Always creepy.
And it's going to be in black and white. And it's just it's going to be fantastic. I'm hoping. I mean, the guy's like 2 for 2, so.
Did you see Shadow of the Vampire? Which was supposed to be a funny, but it was so scary.
When did it come
I
out?
Didn't sleep at night. It had Buscemi in it, I think.
Okay.
Shadow of the Vampire is amazing.
Nice. I'll definitely check it out. I love a good vampire movie.
Right. The Vampire. And wait a minute. Shadow of the Vampire 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And it is Willem Dafoe, who I get mixed, and John Malkovich.
Then I'm sure it's incredible.
And Eddie Izzard.
Oh, that's wild.
Weirdly
nice.
Enough. And Derek Cuter, which I have seen his name before. Catherine McCormick, Max Schreck.
Nice.
And Carrie Ulis from Princess Bride, whose name I'm pronouncing wrong. Anyway, so Shadow of the Vampire, really good, but a Nosferatu one coming out this year.
Mm-hmm.
What else
I'm really excited about. And at some point they're doing Ty West, who's like A24, he put out two horror movies that were like set in this. One was a prequel to the other, but the first one was X. The second one was Pearl. And then the final one comes out this year, Maxine. And I'm really looking forward to that.
Wow.
They're like slasher movies. It's just fun.
Slasher?
Yeah.
That is fun. Any, I'm looking forward to The Fall Guy.
The Fall Guy. Oh, who's in that?
Which is the stunt. It's Ryan Gosling.
Okay. Yes.
And,
I mean, he's very funny.
It turns out he's funnier than I get him and the other Ryan who plays Deadpool mixed up.
Reynolds,
because I have that face thing, and they have the same stylist.
Yes,
so it's not and workout regimen.
Yeah.
So they almost have the same body, and they almost have the same haircut, and they almost have the same white guy face. So, but they are very different people, and I enjoy both of them. So
I'm definitely
and he did
more
do comedy
Gosling.
Very well.
I'm more a Gosling than a Reynolds fan. I think Reynolds,
I did like him in Free Guy, which
was
one of
the
dumbest
video game one.
Yeah.
It was
if
okay.
you were 10 at this time,
yes,
that would be your stepbrothers.
My son loved it. Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Exactly.
Right. And how old is your son?
He's 14.
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah.
Exactly.
So it came out when he was 12 or 11, and it was literally made for him.
Yeah.
And I have an inner 11-year-old boy inside of me. And sounds creepy out loud, but holy shit. If I edited it again, people, if I edited these, that would be gone. But you'll be happy to know I don't. It's been an hour. You're great, Cody. This
has
been
so
much fun.
Yeah, this ruled. I love this.
This is just, sometimes I just like people to come on and talk about their five favorite whatevers.
Yeah, this was a lot of fun. I loved it.
Awesome. Rangers, go find Cody Cannon because he's a good egg and he's a great comic. It's Cody Cannon Comedy, and that's an @. And Comics and Chronic is his podcast where, guess what? There might be some marijuana involved. If you're ever in Morgantown, West Virginia, go see stand-up comedy at the Red Eye Comedy Club, which I think of as a club, but it's really a
music hall
within a club. Music hall.
Exactly.
So thanks for doing the show. And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
Hi, Adal. How was the show?
Well, it was with Cody Cannon Comedy. That's his name. His name is Cody Cannon, and his @ is Cody Cannon Comedy. All right. Cody Cannon, West Virginia. He's the guy I did the Morgantown guy that I did last year in West Virginia in the Appalachians where they gave me the fancy car.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He talked about five of his favorite movies.
Oh, yeah?
I've decided that you can't ask people what their five favorite movies are. You can only ask them what five of their favorite movies are.
I think that is correct. I think that is absolutely correct.
It's too much pressure.
Because things change. Like you're going to pick five from a list of probably 50 in any given day.
Right. Because everybody loves a lot of movies. There's been a lot of movies that have been made. You're wearing
a lot of really good
t-shirt.
Movies. I am wearing a Made of Bees t-shirt.
And I'm wearing my After Midnight t-shirt.
I am proud.
Okay. So here's the movies. Seen, haven't seen. Haven't seen The Goonies.
Yeah, we saw that recently.
I think you watched it with Kevin Flanagan.
Maybe, but I thought it was you, but I don't know.
Because Kevin was like, I just rewatched it. Didn't I watch it with you? And you did not. Something called Step Brothers, which was one of those sort of liar, liar. Like it was with Will Ferrell, I think. It was one of those dumb movies that like against your very will if you are of a certain age.
Right. Okay.
Kill Bill Volume 1. Didn't see that one. Kill Bill Volume 1.
What was it? I'm sorry.
Kill Bill.
Kill Bill. Right. I saw that, of course.
Yeah.
It was okay.
It was okay?
It was okay. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't be in my top 50.
All right. The Thing.
Oh, yes. Excellent movie.
Too scary for Jackie's.
Too scary for Jackie. Almost too scary for me. It's a very scary movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
John Carpenter, Kurt Russell.
Yep.
And Everywhere All at Once, which I have seen.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We loved that movie.
That was a good one, right?
Yeah, yeah. Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yep. And tried to talk about the B-plot. B-plot of the Goonies is capitalism doesn't work. Hmm. And you got to kind of bet on the lottery. That was... Because it was about a factory town that had gone.
Yep.
Yep. That was, and the reason they wanted the doubloons was to save the factory town.
Wasn't there something more specific than we, like as kids needing to save the town? Didn't it something more important to them specifically?
I don't know. No, that was Happy Gilmore.
Happy
Gilmore was his greatest house.
I'm not going to confuse Happy Gilmore with the Goonies.
I don't know. I've never seen it. But he said that he thought it was capitalism is a mess. So.
Okay. All right. And then.
Step Brothers, the B plot on Step Brothers. Mm-hmm. What we came up with was that it just doesn't matter. Jobs don't matter. Careers don't matter.
Okay.
Only family matters.
All right.
The Thing couldn't find a B plot. He could not find a B plot.
Yeah, I don't know that there's a B plot, and the B plot may.
I thought it might have been immigration. I thought it might have been the vilification of aliens.
No, no, not at all, because it all takes place on Antarctica.
Right, but it was an alien immigrant from another planet.
No,
stretch, stretch.
Yeah, that's too much of a stretch. Yeah, if anything, the B plot is always something that's like. That's going on alongside the A plot, right?
Right, right, right.
So it's not going to be the A plot.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be, gosh, and the alien and it's a tough one because everything had to do with the A plot.
Yeah, same, and we couldn't find one for Kill Bill either.
Right,
family matters, but it's just a revenge story.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't marry poorly.
How about Everywhere All at Once? He thought generational trauma.
Yeah. Yeah. Generational trauma
is real.
Right,
and,
right.
And you got to process it. You got to process it in your own space.
Right. And pay attention to your mother.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even, you know, try to make your loved one's dreams come true.
Aww.
I don't know.
Well, Cody Cannon, great episode.
Yeah,
he has a podcast called Comics and Chronic.
Food for definitely for thought and for further discussion.
Right. I could get emails, jackie@jackiecation.com. And I'm going to do his comic book one about Plastic Man. That's upcoming.
Good. And
but I'm not going to be on Chronic. But it's a little bit of that. But he has a thing called Red Eye Comedy. I'm going to come back to West Virginia again in November, I think. And Cody Cannon, very funny comic. So go see Cody, C-O-D-Y, Cannon, C-A-N-N-O-N, comedy, spelled like comedy, at Cody Cannon Comedy. And it was a really fun episode.
Neat.
And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
Yay.
My hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh, my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?